Good morning, everyone. You know, on Facebook, they have this thing called Time Hop. And you get reminded of stuff that happened in the past. Well, 2 years ago today, Easter Sunday, Carrie and I were in Escondido, California, with our friends and family, celebrating Easter. And a preacher friend of mine by the name of Mike Cope was visiting that day. He works at Pepperdine University, and he was teaching. Now, Mike's from Missouri. But if you ask him, he calls it Missouri. And it gets a little cold there. Now, being a California boy, I had a hard time understanding what he said. Because what he said is, on this side of Easter, meaning before Easter happens, on this side of Easter, it gets a little cold and dark. Reminds me of the old preacher that got up and he said, "It's Friday, and my man is dead on the cross. And it looks like it's lost." He said, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." Gets a little cold and dark on that side of Easter. But as we wake up this morning, and we see flowers that are blooming, and we see this green stuff coming out of the ground we haven't seen in a while, we celebrate today, the day that our Lord was raised from the dead. The very day that Jesus came forth, we finally come to the message of the gospel, the resurrection. Throughout Acts and the apostles, this day is foretold and prophesied and talked about and preached about. This event is proclaimed as the very cornerstone of our faith, the things that we hold dearest to us. Paul goes as far as to say that if these things didn't actually happen, factually, being that Jesus was bodily raised from the dead, that we are to be most of all pitied because of our faith. This event makes all the difference in the world. It validates Jesus as God's Son. We can then believe in Him implicitly and follow Him completely. It validates Jesus' work on the cross. It assures our own victory over the tomb. It grants us hope. It grants us that hope of an unconquered enemy that has now finally been defeated. Prophesied all the way back in Genesis, the third chapter, now has come through. And come true. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And we put our hope in Him. This morning we're going to look at two stories. And we're going to look at the scripture that evolves around it. But for us to get there, I think we need to look at what they went through when it came in regards to this crucifixion. When it came in regards with the prophecies of what Jesus was saying. Because there was theories that went around that this had never happened. Some of those theories started as simple as the body was stolen. We look at that, we can see how the Jews would have wanted to propagate this. They tried to guard against it. They gave money to the guards saying, if something happens, we'll protect you if it goes to the governor. They didn't have the means to do it. You had 11 people that were running for their lives, hiding in tombs, hiding in houses, hiding wherever they could. They're not going to come out and confront a Roman cohort and steal a body. Not only was it the stolen body, now they see, well, maybe it was a swoon theory, that he didn't actually die, but he passed out because of the great stress that he was under and everything that had happened. But then he was resuscitated later and he woke up and was able to leave the tomb. Well, maybe it was the wrong tomb. Okay, let me ask you. Mothers out there, do you think you would forget where the tomb of your son is? They had followed him for 3 years. They had loved with him. They had laughed with him. They had cried with him. And now there came a time where he was gone. And they came to the tomb and they said, he's gone. They didn't go to the wrong tomb. Maybe it was a hallucination. All of these people looking for the tomb now, they're hallucinating about all of the events and everything that had happened. Or maybe it was just a myth. time after time after time after time. Atheists have tried to dispel the fact that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And so many of them have come around to now know the truth. Look at the books and the writings of Lee Strobel, a man who was a reporter, one that is known for getting into and looking at the very evidence of things. And he found out that his wife was going to be a Christian, and he didn't like it. And he wanted to find out what he could do to dispel what she was doing. She's being carried away. She's being taken somewhere where she shouldn't be. So he studied, and he tried to prove that Jesus Christ was a fraud. He tried to prove that that didn't happen. But he proved to himself that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was buried and was risen from the dead. He proved to himself. Josh McDowell wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone? If you haven't seen it, if you haven't read it, please get it and read it. An atheist, a scientist that went and he looked at the scientific data of what could have happened, how it could have happened, when it could have happened, why it could have happened. He proved to himself, and thus person after person after person and millions of people that have read this book that now say, He is God. He is risen. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All of the myths dispelled, but everything to this point, we get to the point where Jesus existed. Jesus did what he said he did, and we have proof of it. If these things wouldn't have happened, the things that we see, 3,000 people being converted just a few days later. Peter's first gospel sermon, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls are added. What about the transformation of Peter and Paul? What about the martyrdom of the apostles? What about the continued sacraments now of our baptism and about the Lord's Supper? The day of worship for the Jews being changed from Saturday to now Sunday. And the unswerving testimony of the early church and what they believed and how they believed and these things that actually took place. Changed lives of millions of people, of billions of people over the years because they believe in Jesus Christ and everything pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ is King and that Jesus Christ today and every day is well and alive. As we look at the testimony of this morning, and as we look at these stories, I beg you, think about these women and men following Jesus. They're just like us. They're normal people. They were fishermen. They were teachers. They were tax collectors. They were people like me and you. And they loved their Lord. They loved their friend. And the day had come. They had collected all their spices. And they went to the tomb to finish the burial rites. When Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. But after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, when Mary Magdalene and Mary went to the tomb, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook at him, and they became like dead men. While it was still dark, they set out for the tomb. And along the way, the sun starts to peek over the Mount of Olives to the east. And suddenly there was a terrific earthquake that shook the ground. Perhaps an aftershock of the very violent earthquake that happened just 2 days prior when Jesus was on the cross. The shaken band of women, now even more unnerved, nearly frightened as the guards are now terrified because of what has happened. We don't know exactly what they saw, but Matthew says that they reported everything that happened. The scripture takes us to Mark 16 and John 20, where it says, very early the first day of the week, just after sunrise, while it was still dark, they were on their way to the tomb. And then they ask each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up and they saw the stone, it was very large, it had already been rolled away. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men, a young man in clothes that gleamed like lightning, stood beside them, sitting at their right side. Imagine the scene. These poor women have just pulled themselves together because of a terrible earthquake. Who's going to move the boulder for us? So we can anoint the body of our Lord. About that time they arrived at the site and they find the stone is already moved. They don't know how it got moved. They don't know why it got moved. It just got moved. They enter the tomb. They find an even greater problem. More vexing than anything that they've experienced to this point. Where is he? He is gone. Who took him? What did they do with him? Can you imagine all the things that are going through their mind? What has happened to our Lord? Where is he? All the while forgetting his prophecies. All the while forgetting the Holy Scriptures that said over and over again, this is going to happen. Luke and Matthew and Mark also tell us that in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man, the angel, said to them, "Do not be afraid." Hey, we talked about this last year. We talked about the angels. What's the first thing an angel tells you when he comes down to see you? What's the first thing an angel tells you when he comes down to see you?
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. We don't know the punctuation that the angel put to this, but this is the Lord of Lords. This is the King of the hosts of the armies of the living God. This is the one that has been prophesied for. This is the one that the Scriptures tell us angels long to look into these things. This is the one that has come. And the angel now said, "He is not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where he lay. Remember how he told you while he was still here in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day. Remember his words. Now, go quickly. Tell the other disciples and Peter." I always thought that was interesting. What did Peter just do? What happened? The first thing the angel says, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Remembering back to the disciples what that Jesus had told them. Remembering back to Peter and what he had told them. "Satan has asked to sift you. And when you return," Jesus made sure through the very holy angels that Peter knew he had to come back. Now was the time. "He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Now I'm telling you." The angel confirmed everything that Jesus said. The angel confirmed everything that the prophets said. Everything that happened has come true in the life of Jesus Christ. The angel comforts them saying, "Don't be afraid." But he comes with a message that is very powerful. And very on point, Jesus is not here. He is risen. The Scriptures in Matthew tell us that they were trembling and bewildered, yet filled with joy. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. They're frightened. They're confused. They're dizzy with joy. They run quickly and they tell the 11. They report naturally, directly to Peter, to John. The rest are listening. The rest are hearing. The rest are there. So she, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them came running from the tomb to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and to the 11 and to the others, saying, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Not only when an eyewitness comes and tells them, now the Lord is risen. We ask today, how come you can't believe? The scriptures clearly state that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How come you can't believe it? They couldn't even believe when they had an eyewitness that told them that very morning, he is risen. He is not there. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both of them were running. The other disciple outrun Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, he was behind him. He arrived at the tomb and he saw the strips of linen that were there by themselves, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth that was folded up by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and believed. Do you see that? He saw and believed. Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They went back to their homes. But it doesn't stop there. We go back to the women. We go back to this woman, Mary Magdalene. Scriptures tell us that she was the one who demons had been driven from. Mark 16 and verse 9, Jesus arose early in the first day of the week, and he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons had been driven. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, saw two angels seated where Jesus' body had been. This woman's life was changed. I got to tell you this, guys. She had demons inside of her. But how much more is the demons that are inside you and me? She had something inside of her that she couldn't get rid of herself. We have stuff inside of us. We can't control ourselves. She comes to this point. She stands at the tomb. She weeps as she bends over and looks. And she sees the angels seated where Jesus' body was. One at the head, it says, and one at the foot. And they ask her, woman, why are you crying? So tenderly, so lovingly, so compassionately. They come to her because of her tears. And she says, in tears and in a shaky voice, they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. At this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus, but she didn't realize that it was him. Jesus now confronts Mary. We don't know what he looked like at this point. We don't know what was going on. Was her eyes so clouded by the emotion? Was the morning sleep still not completely left? She'd run to the tomb. She'd run back to the house. She's come back to the tomb. Her eyes are filled with tears. She thinks he's the gardener. And she asks the question again. As Jesus says, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples who had been with him and were still mourning and weeping with the news. I have seen the Lord. And she told them all the things. When they heard that Jesus was alive, they still did not believe. It's not the only story that goes on where people were seeing Jesus that day. Jesus came and it says suddenly, Jesus met with them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, clasped his hands and his feet and said, do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers, Go to Galilee. There you will see me. The soldiers, while they were on their way, some of the guards went into the city to report to the chief priest of everything that had happened. They saw it. They saw what was going on. They saw and felt the earthquake. They saw the angel move the stone away. They saw the women come. They saw James, Peter, and John come. They saw everything, and they went and they reported it. Who? To the very ones that gave them the money, to told them to guard the tomb, the chief priests. When the chief priests had met with the elders, they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money and telling them, you're to say his disciples came at night and stole the body away while he was sleeping. If the report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and they did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus wasn't done. At this very time, Jesus is meeting with other people and these men on the road to Emmaus. And as he comes to them, it says, now, on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and they discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and he walked along with them and appeared in a different form. But they were kept from recognizing him. The actions this Sunday afternoon, two disciples, one of them, scriptures tell us, was named Cleopas. They come and they're walking along and they're talking. They're talking about everything that's going on. Jesus, all of a sudden, is there. Kind of reminds me of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. All of a sudden, the chariot's going down the road. Where, boom, there's Philip. He's there to take it over. This is boom. Jesus is there. He's walking and talking, but they don't recognize him. Luke tells us the story continues that he asked them, Jesus, says, what are you discussing as you walk along the way? They stood still and their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you a visitor to Jerusalem and not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things, Jesus said. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and all the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early, saying that they didn't find the body. They came and they told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who had said he's alive. Some of their companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. Jesus was the topic of the day. Jesus was the conversation around the dinner table that day. Jesus was the reason for that day. And they were talking about it. Cleopas breaks the silence. What's going on, dude? Don't you know anything? Cleopas charges Jesus being socially ignorant. Well, Jesus is going to turn back around and charge Cleopas from being socially ignorant, because he comes in that same passage in Luke 24 and says, how foolish are you? And how slow of heart to believe that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus has acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is near the evening and the time is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. He was at the table and he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. He disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? Of course they should have known. As he spoke the holy prophets, as one having authority, as one that was in the synagogue that said the very same things, taking Moses and the prophets and the very scriptures confirming that the Messiah, the Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus saves has come. And they said, Jesus mysteriously vanishes from their sight, but all the pieces fall into place. They remembered how their hearts burned as Jesus explained to them the scriptures. And of course, this was Jesus. We see two different people here. Mary hears Jesus' voice, a comforting voice that says, Mary. A voice that had said Mary hundreds and thousands of times. It was a voice that she knew. It was a voice that she loved. It was a voice that meant something to her. We don't know if these men on the road to Emmaus had even met Jesus. But something happened this day. I have a video. I want to show you this before we leave today. A friend of mine named Ken Young wrote this song, 1993. And it's simply called Rabboni. John tells us in this communication between Jesus and Mary, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? In the revelation to John, in chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, behold, I come and I stand at the door and I knock. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. It's his voice that is out there saying, can I come in? It's his voice that is saying, I am the God. It is his voice saying, I am the Savior. As we hear the stories and the prophecies of the shepherds, the sheep know the shepherd. They know his voice. They know his tone. As he calls your name, he says, come. As he calls your name, he says, come. And we come to that time that we offer not our invitation, but that of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know him? If he called your name, would you recognize it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we have to be together. And we thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. We know that today is the day of salvation. And we know that we're not promised any others. But we're thankful that this is Easter Day. We're thankful, Father, that the prophecies are fulfilled. We thank you, Father, that the King is risen and that the perfect Lamb of God, our Savior, is sitting at home with you, waiting for the day that he comes back to take us home. Father, we look forward to that day. But until that day comes, Father, let us do the work that you have for us to do. Let us look to you, our God, to Jesus, our Savior, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith, that we may put our hope in him and that we always may remember that he is a great and holy God, that he is a great and holy King. We love you, God. We love your son, Jesus. And it's in his blessed and precious name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need to take advantage of this invitation that the Lord offers, if you need the prayers of the church, we have people here that will pray for you, pray over you, and pray with you. If you're in a position where you have never named Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to put him on this very day in baptism, all things are ready. We can make that happen. We're going to sing a song, Hallelujah, What a Savior. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners, to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I can't think of a better song. As we sing about Hallelujah, what a Savior, won't you come? Won't you come while we stand and sing?